Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It's the Derek Hunter Podcast for Thursday, the 23rd of July, 2020. And holy Frank Tanana, what a crazy stupid ass day it's been. Oh man. Tomorrow, you know what, I'm not going to say who's going to be on the show tomorrow. I'm just not going to do it. Because last time I said this person was going to be on, they got sick and they weren't on, so until it happens, I'm not going to believe it's going to happen. But otherwise, tomorrow we'll be back with another show. How's that for a tease? Yeah, tune in tomorrow. That'll be me rambling some more. If you hear noise in the background, we are experiencing one of those summer thunderstorms that can be pretty violent. Knocked out the power yesterday, as a matter of fact, which sucked. God, it was hot. So, I'm recording a little bit earlier than usual, just in case the power does get knocked out, because these suckers are supposed to last for a while, and I want to be able to get this show posted. Oh, the sacrifices we make. You can email me, DerekAllenHunter@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Derek A. Hunter, so on and so forth, etc., etc. I don't know if I was maxed out on Facebook friends, but I've done my best to alienate a bunch of people, mostly liberals I went to high school with. So I think I have some openings, but you can always follow me on Facebook. There's no difference between being my friend on Facebook and following me on Facebook. To be honest with you, everything I post is public, just like this podcast is public. It's all out there for anybody to grab and download. I have a philosophy that if you're going to be embarrassed by it, don't do it, don't say it, don't write it. And otherwise, stand by everything else and flip them the bird if they get whiny and pissy and moany, which they do a lot. Like I said, we've got a lot to get to. The NFL seems hell-bent on alienating their remaining fans. I'm not sure that that's the best business model in the world. I personally don't give a crap. I didn't watch a whole lot of NFL to begin with. I always make the joke, and it's only a joke partially, that I didn't grow up in a town with a professional football team. We just had the Lions. That still holds. Just, I don't care. I get updates on how they did. I got better things to do on Sunday than watch football, especially if the league is going to try and open my mouth and cram their politics into it, and that's exactly what they're doing. I'll probably tick off a lot of you, and I don't mean to, but I also am going to do it anyway, just because I mean what I'm going to say as thunder crashes, as the Angels bolus strike. I hope the season gets canceled. I really do. I kind of hope the same thing for the NBA, to be honest with you. I've gotten used to there not being sports. Now, granted, those are sports I don't particularly care about. I watch the Super Bowl out of morbid curiosity over the commercials more than anything else. And I don't watch the NBA ever because I think basketball sucks. I'll watch the NHL. I will watch hockey because there's nothing in sports like sudden death overtime. But in general, I couldn't care less if sports got canceled. And see, my power just flickered off. It's the power of always having your batteries charged. Always charge your batteries, kids, and your phone, your iPad, your laptop, all that good stuff. So we'll talk about that. We've got Democrats, one Democrat, and since it's one Democrat, it'll be all Democrats soon enough. A Democrat is saying that President Trump wants a race war. Well, of course, it's one of the Democrat with one of the worst attendance records on the job, of anybody in Congress, which is saying something. It's also a Democrat who owed $1 million in back taxes and had their congressional salary garnished. I'm not even kidding. How does this guy win re-election? Well, he's a black Democrat, and he represents the killing fields of Chicago, the south side of Chicago. Yeah. So he squeaked by last time with 73.5% of the vote. It's really a squeaker election. It is nuts. So we've got all of that and a whole bunch more, as I say, coming up on the program. But first, let me tell you about Life Change Tea, our lovely sponsor. If you're feeling sluggish and you're going, what's going on? I don't get it. I eat right. I eat good. I eat healthy. I'm not eating a bunch of processed crap. What's going on? Why am I dragging by the middle of the day? Well, it's probably because your insides are coated. Your digestive tract, that as hence its name, digests your food. It draws all the nutrition out of your food as it passes through your body. It's clogged up. It's coated. It's got a layer of filth in there. That's where Life Change Tea comes in. You go to getthetea.com. You pick your flavor of Life Change Tea. You brew it up. It takes about an hour or 8 hours to steep or whatever they call it. And then you drink the recommended daily amount. And suddenly you're saying, I'm going to the bathroom pretty regularly. And then you go, hey, wait a second. I'm feeling a lot better. That food I'm eating is paying off. And it's because your body is now clear and can digest all the nutrition from the food that you consume. It's a great, great deal. It's a wonderful thing. I've heard from so many of you who've joined the Get the Tea revolution. Go to getthetea.com. Don't forget to enter promo code Derek at checkout. My name, D-E-R-E-K. Click apply. You get free fast shipping on top of a great deal. And they have all kinds of things at getthetea.com. Free shipping on all of it. If you enter promo code Derek, you help the program and you help yourself, most importantly. Okay. Can we just stop pretending that black lives matter to Black Lives Matter? I know that's politically incorrect to say. You have to bow down at the shrine of Black Lives Matter. But black lives don't matter to Black Lives Matter. Unless they can be monetized, they don't. Now, if you're, most people on TV won't say it. They're a Marxist organization. They are leftists to the core, committed leftists, the leaders of this group, the people hammering the checks, the trustees that see it. They've got a convicted terrorist on their board. So it's not as though this is some sort of grassroots thing. This is something that leftists have been searching for. They've been looking for a delivery device, and they found it. They got a catchy slogan. Ooh, Black Lives Matter. Who can say Black Lives don't matter? There we go. Put that on some T-shirts. Sell it. You go to the Black Lives Matter website, and they've got a store and a half, man. They're willing to sell you anything with Black Lives Matter emblazoned upon it. They'll probably sue you if you try to do it. But they are raking in money hand over fist as white college students are saving all the money, using all the money they're saving on not having to go to school and buying Black Lives Matter T-shirts in the hopes that they'll eventually get to kiss a girl. Good luck with that. But black lives don't matter to Black Lives Matter. Last night, well, I guess two nights ago now, in Chicago at a funeral, 15 people were shot. 15, 14, depending on the story here. A lot of people. More than a baker's dozen people were shot at a funeral. Now, granted, it was a funeral for a gang member, and the funeral attendees returned fire as, of course, it's Chicago. Why wouldn't it happen? And that didn't really happen on CNN or MSNBC. They had to acknowledge that it existed. It looks pretty bad when you watch 14, when you hear 14, 15 people are shot and you just kind of yawn at it because a group of self-professed suburban mothers are wearing yellow T-shirts out in Portland, locking arm in arm like they're off to see the wizard, going and saying, we're standing up for our children. These aren't your children. Andy Ngo, who follows these mutants, who was nearly killed by these mutants on at least one occasion, had his skull fractured by them. He says, I recognize these so-called moms out there. They used to be protesters. They weren't wearing yellow. They were wearing all black last week. But what happened? The left, very good at propaganda. I mean, the master of it all was Joseph Goebbels. He was their hero and mentor. They realized that they weren't getting a lot of sympathy out there in Portland. Oh, there wasn't a whole lot of sympathy for the government either. The mainstream media was mostly ignoring what was going on in public. But now that there are federal officers out there and have been out there for a week, they now aren't beating up local Portland police. They're beating up and trying to kill federal agents. And so they said, well, this is great. This is good PR for us. We need to find a good way to counter it, because a whole bunch of assholes all in black throwing bricks at cops doesn't really elicit a lot of sympathy, except for people who hate this country, and they've already got their support. So they said, we need to do something dramatic. So they stole a book from the terrorist playbook, from the Hamas playbook. I swear to God, they did. Said, you know, we'll put some women out in front. They'll all say they're mothers, and they're down here to protect people's First Amendment rights. Now, the riots happen after dark, right? They happen between the hours of 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. Usually, we get really heavy after midnight, but they start at around 10 p.m. Normal human beings who are at all interested in protesting, and after 54 days, you're not a normal human being. If you're still protesting, you're an idiot. But that's beside the point. They go home because they have lives, they have families, they have some work to do, they have something better to do than go out there and throw bricks at a building and try and burn it down because it's filled with federal officers. That's when the leftists take over. That's when the Democrat hardcore people take over. The so-called Black Lives Matter, the Antifa, whatever it is. They're all just communist fascists, whatever, all sides of the same coin. Well, they needed a PR victory. So they got a bunch of women who look like there's nobody who would ever impregnate them, let's be honest, to go out there and claim to be mothers. They're out there, we're just trying to protect our children in this city, the children of Portland. The problem is that most of these women, so-called, who knows how they identify, I know how I identify them, and women isn't the first thing that comes to mind, but they look about in their late 20s, early 30s, which if you're in your late 20s or early 30s, it's highly unlikely that after the streetlights come on, your kids are out there and they're the ones throwing bricks at cops. And good parents, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb here, but good parents would not defend their kids trying to kill police officers or even trying to maim police officers. When I was a wayward teen getting into the trouble that I was getting into, or actually I got away with it most of the time because I was pretty good. Escape the cops. I had good plans to escape cops. And responsibility. I was a reckless teen. My parents always told me, if you're ever arrested and you didn't do it, call us and we'll come get you. But if you did it, call somebody else. Now, I was never arrested. Close a couple of times, but I was never arrested. And I knew that they were telling the truth. If I had ever been pulled over for drunk driving or possession of marijuana or theft, whatever it was, if I'd done it, I knew if I'd called my parents, they'd have said, you just wasted your phone call on that. Did you do it? You just wasted your phone call. Hopefully somebody finds out where you are and comes and gets you, because we're not going to do it. My parents were very serious about that. That, in my opinion, is good parenting. These leftist so-called moms are not to be bothered with anything resembling good parenting. They are not good people, and not good people do not make good parents. Can you follow all that with the negatives? I hope so. The point stands. These people are following the terrorist model, like I said, because they've got these so-called moms out in front. The mob is throwing bricks from behind them, throwing frozen water bottles, throwing anything they can at police officers from behind this idiot wall of fat women pretending to be moms, pretending to care deeply about, oh, this is a peaceful protest and we're trying to keep the violent police away from them. That's what Hamas does. They launch rockets into Israel from schools. They launch rockets into Israel from hospitals. Well, if you've got a missile battery on the roof of an elementary school and it's launching into your country and trying to kill people willy-nilly, they just kind of, they don't target things. Hamas just goes, Jews live over that way, point their rockets that way, and maybe we'll kill some Jews. Well, Israel doesn't take too kindly to that, as they should, as they definitely shouldn't. So they blow up the missile battery, and it inevitably damages the school. Well, the Palestinians know this. The Hamas terrorists know this. And so they hope, and as sick as it sounds to say about a human being, they hope kids get injured and killed. They maybe hope that they're just injured. But killed is perfectly acceptable, too. It's actually more of a PR coup, because then the Western media throughout Europe, and sadly more and more in this country, will report, oh my goodness, the Jewish state just bombed a school. Can you believe it? And here is ready-made video of the bloodied children being pulled from the rubble, crying for their parents. Oh, it's horrible. God, those Jews are awful. That's the way they do it. That's how it works in the Middle East. It seems absurd and sick and evil for people in this country, but apparently not all people in this country now. Normal Americans look at that and think, these people are fucked in the head. What is it with these people? Why would anybody do that? What is wrong with them? But leftists look at it and go, damn, those Jews. They just love bombing children and women and innocent people and the sick and the elderly. That's all they do. That's all Israel does, is spend its day killing innocent Palestinians because they're oppressors. They literally took that model. They adopted that model in this country at these Black Lives Matter protests. And that's what the moms are. If the moms don't work, and I'll tell you what they're working for in a second, but if the moms don't work, what they're going to next do is drag real kids out there. There have to be enough of these mutants out there with some weird kid that they're abusing emotionally that they're willing to sacrifice. We've already seen protests where the riots were full-blown of parents, oh, they're pouring water on that three-year-old's face because the police tear gassed a three-year-old. Like, I don't think the police launched a tear gas canister at a three-year-old. I think a piece of trash parent dragged their kid to a riot and tear gas wafted past them. The real problem isn't the disbursement of tear gas. The real problem is the shitty parenting going on where you say, hey, there's a riot. There's a super-duper 100% off sale at the Target. Come on, Junior, let's go. That's the problem. Nobody wants to call it out. It's probably racist to call it out, but a lot of them are white. I just don't care what color anybody's skin is. I care if somebody's an idiot. And idiots deserve to be called out, no matter what color they happen to be. But what is the goal? What is the ultimate goal? You made a reference to an ultimate goal, Derek. The ultimate goal, and I'm going out on a limb here again, but you can back me up, you can hold me to account. The 23rd of July, mark it in your calendar. They want blood. The leftists want blood. They either want to kill some cops, which won't get a whole lot of attention because the left doesn't care about cops, or what they really want is another Kent State. They want a body count of protesters. There are federal law enforcement officers in a building in Portland defending that building, and the mutant mob is trying to set it on fire. When the forces come out and put out the fires and push back the crowd. The crowd is throwing things at them meant to injure, maim, and kill them. The federal agents, the federal officers, have weapons. You have to be a special kind of stupid to think that sooner or later, if you take out one of them, either by killing them or seriously injuring them, surround them, become extra violent, start beating them, you're able to separate one of them and go at them, shots will be fired. Shots should be fired. Shots should have been fired by now. Oh my God, Derek, are you saying that police should kill protesters? No, I don't think they should set out to do it. But when you've got, you know, a couple of dozen police officers around a statue in Seattle, surrounded by professional rioters, throwing bricks, frozen water bottles at them, shooting fireworks at them and coming at them with sharpened PVC pipes as stabbing weapons, deadly force would, in my mind, be justified. If you are in a building, in a federal building, trying to prevent its destruction, and like they did on Tuesday night in Portland, they barricade the doors to keep you in while trying to set that building on fire, which they tried to do, that is attempted murder. Not just attempted destruction of federal property. That is attempted murder. In the face of attempted murder, to my mind, and I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, I can do basic math, to my mind is justification for the use of lethal force. So why would any sane, rational person be around that, witnessing this? Why would you go back the next night? Well, these people are not sane and rational people. They really do want to kill federal police officers, or they really want to destroy that federal courthouse. And if it just so happens to burn up, 50 federal officers, federal agents, who cares? No big deal. A sacrifice they're willing to make. The organizers, the instigators, the people who are not in the front lines, but the people who sort of set the agenda for each night, these are the ones that really need to be gone after. They are the ones who want the blood. Not their blood, never their blood. They found idiots dumb enough to believe in their cause deeply enough to go, you know, I've been out here every day, but I'm going to go put on a yellow shirt, say I'm a mother, and I will protect everyone. I'll be the human shield. It's more like a human sacrifice, an attempted human sacrifice. These people want blood so they can have martyrs, so they can say, look at what Donald Trump did with his Gestapo. You've got a ready-made group of idiots in the media ready to believe it, ready to report it. They're still talking about protests in Portland as if they're peaceful. They're daily riots. They looted a jewelry store 2 days ago in the name of justice. Did they steal all the jewelry because they wanted to go to George Floyd's gravesite and sprinkle it on it like they're pouring one out for him? Or do you think that jewelry went into their pockets and is being pawned or sold on eBay or whatever it is? They're criminals. And the Democratic Party is not only embracing them, they're elevating them. The only thing missing from this is death. They want death. This isn't by accident. I hope to God the FBI has people embedded. I know they have people around these people, but I hope they're gathering all sorts of evidence. Because I look at this, and again, I'm not a lawyer. Somebody out there is a lawyer. They can email me and tell me why I'm wrong. But I see the potential here for a massive, massive RICO suit. RICO is used to take down the mafia, big-time mafia family. It basically says if you are part of an organization that is involved in a criminal enterprise,
then you're responsible for all the actions that that criminal enterprise engages in. You know, if your gang, this is very rudimentary explanation, but if your gang robs a bank and you're the head of the gang, but you weren't there, you didn't know about it, you didn't order it, but it's your gang, they're your people, they're going to kick some money up to you like the boss. You are responsible for that bank robbery as much as the people who pulled off the bank robbery. It's all part of the same racket. It's part of it's a RICO statute. Now, the people funding this is what I would love to see Attorney General Barr do. Once you establish that these gangs of monsters are a criminal organization, you can not only go after the people on the streets, right? You can go after them as you're a part of this. You don't have to have an official membership card. You remember the guy who killed 5 police officers in Dallas a couple of years ago. He was a member of Black Lives Matter. You know, he'd attended rallies for Black Lives. And what happened? Immediately, the left, including the media, led by the media, really, said, whoa, 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 whoa. He wasn't part of Black Lives Matter. He came to a couple of events, but he was never a part of Black Lives Matter. And you're like, was there like an official membership card? Do you have to pay dues in order to count as a member of Black Lives Matter? No, you don't. You just have to show up to events, and you just sort of a self-proclaimed, I'm a member of Black Lives Matter. But when it was a murderer, a cop killer, it was suddenly, no, 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 no. He's not a member. He just came to our events, which is all anybody did. But if you can establish this organization as a criminal organization, then you can go after all of them for the crimes of a few of them. More importantly, and what will do more damage and really would scare the hell out of this and help sort of choke the life out of this crap, is you could go after the funders of it. If you're funding a criminal organization, I don't see how you could not be at least open to the possibility of a RICO charge, right? Again, maybe I'm off base here, but it strikes me as an enterprising attorney general could go after, say, Hollywood celebrities, the people who are funding the bail programs for these people. Somebody is spending money on this. Maybe it's George Soros. Maybe it's through the Open Society group that he has, but somewhere his money is on this. It's too anti-American for someone like George Soros not to be involved in this. Democratic politicians paying lip service, fundraising. Please donate to the cause to get these young, enterprising mini-terrorists out of prison. That sort of thing. If you're advocating for it, you're a part of it. If you're a part of it and it's a criminal organization engaged in crime, then to my mind, at least, it seems like there's at least the possibility of RICO charges being brought, a RICO case being brought against them. Personally, I would love to see it. Even if it went nowhere and legally all the charges were dismissed, how nice would it be to see Ted Wheeler's ass rolled out because of him offering material support for terrorists or because he was part of a larger RICO conspiracy in cahoots with leftist mobs? How wonderful would that be? I think that would be Christmas in July, August, or September, or whenever. I would love it. Speaking of loving it, man, President Trump has a huge announcement for his top supporters. He'll be celebrating the 2020 Republican National Convention this summer, and he wants you to enter for a chance to join him at the convention. That's right. If you win, his team will cover your flight, your hotel, and give you VIP passes for yourself and a guest, you and a friend. All you have to do to enter, it's the easiest thing you could ever do. Take out your phone right now and text the word Derek, D-E-R-E-K, to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump at the convention. You get a book signed, get a couple books signed or hat signed, whatever you want signed, pictures taken. You're going to have a blast. Again, that's just texting Derek to 88022 to enter to win this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be the special guest of the President of the United States at the Republican National Convention, paid for by Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated. That would be a pretty sweet, sweet prize to win. A lot of fun. Piss off your liberal friends, too. Awesome. Speaking of Black Lives Matter and how they really don't to leftists, this report comes to us from the College Fix. It's really unbelievable, but it is so believable. The headline, Rutgers English Department to de-emphasize traditional grammar, quote, in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, end quote. That's their headline. So they're going to... This is the equivalent of just assuming that black people are stupid. Can we just be honest about it? This is how the left treats minorities in general. They give them a nice little pat on the head, a lollipop, and said, look, we know you can't do it on your own. We know you can't. It requires skills to make it in this country that you just simply do not possess. No offense. So we'll dumb it down for you. It's unbelievable. The English department at Rutgers University recently announced a list of anti-racist directives and initiatives for the upcoming fall and spring semester, including an effort to de-emphasize traditional grammar rules. It's not traditional grammar rules. There are grammar rules, and then there are things that are not, that go against those rules. It's being able to construct a coherent sentence in written form. That's it. The initiatives were spelled out by Rebecca Walkowitz, I don't know, W-A-L-K-O-W-I-T-Z, the English department chair at Rutgers University, and sent to faculty and staff and students in an email, a copy of which was obtained by the College Fix. Walkowitz sent the email on Juneteenth, which celebrates the commemoration of emancipation from slavery into the United States. Yes, emancipation from one form of slavery to another, to the state this time. Titled Department Actions in Solidarity with Black Lives Matter, the email states that the ongoing and future initiatives that the English department has planned are a, quote, way to contribute to the eradication of systemic inequities facing black, indigenous, and people of color. Now, doesn't people of color cover all of that? But even in their own weirdness, they have to try to try and segregate even further. One of the initiatives is described as, quote, incorporating critical grammar into our pedagogy. It is listed as one of the efforts for Rutgers Graduate Writing Program, which, quote, serves graduate students across the Rutgers community. The GWP, the Graduate Writing Program's mission, is to support graduate students of all disciplines in their current and future writing goals, from coursework papers to scholarly articles and dissertations, according to the website. So under the so-called critical grammar pedagogy, I don't know why I have problems with that word, quote, this approach challenges the familiar dogma with writing instruction, that writing instruction should limit emphasis on grammar sentence level issues so as to not put students from multilingual, non-standard, academic English backgrounds at a disadvantage. Instead, it encourages students to develop critical awareness of the variety of choices available to them with regards to micro-level issues in order to empower them and equip them to push against biases based on written accents. Look, this is the subtext of what she's saying. Look, black people, brown people, off-white people in general, they can't be taught proper English. It's the ultimate in condescension. It is the white savior complex that is just metastasized throughout the left. Black people can't possibly figure this stuff out on their own. They can't live on their own. They need us to look out for them. And so they're looking out for you. I'm reminded of Jason Riley of the Wall Street Journal's book. He's an editorial, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. The book is, I think it's called Please Stop Helping Us. And it's about the failures of liberal policies, so-called designed to help the African-American community, that actually end up making things significantly worse. The destruction of the black family, for example, as a result of the Great Society programs. Just one example. And, of course, the devastating effects that that has had on the black family and the black community. So, yeah, this is the modern left. This is who they are. You couldn't possibly. So I'll do it for you. You need us. I'm needed. This only comes from people who have a void in their lives. Honest to God. I have a wife and two kids. I don't obsess about other people. I have too many things to do than to worry about, oh my goodness, people can't construct a coherent sentence. Let's dumb down the standards. How about we get rid of the teachers who failed to teach people how to construct a coherent sentence? I was a troubled child when it came to writing. Never to speaking, my mouth always worked quite fine. It was the dyslexia that was problematic. It was undiagnosed for a long time. In fifth grade, there was something called the MEEP test, Michigan Education Assessment Placement. So I don't know what the hell it stood for, but it determined where you went in junior high. So fifth grade, you took it. I remember the class. And sixth grade, you're still in elementary school. I'm sure they did some assessing then that I just don't remember. But in seventh grade, when we went to junior high, I was put into basic classes. Now, there was advanced classes, there were normal classes, and there were basic classes. I was in the basic classes, which, no offense to my fellow basic class classmates, they did elect me to student council, the only office I ever ran for. And I didn't even run for it. I think it was just nominated. They did elect me to student council in seventh grade. But it's slower learning. Let's just put it that way. Now, I was not very disciplined. It wasn't all dyslexia. It's that I just didn't pay attention and didn't care. And it was a screw off. And who isn't in fifth grade? Turns out a lot of people. But I wasn't one of them. By the second card marking, I was up into the advanced classes after they said, what are you doing here? But I still got to remain their king god in student council, student government or whatever. It was like each homeroom got to send one idiot. All we did that I remember doing was cleaning up around the school and getting out of class to do it. So it was well worth it. There was a sex scandal and it was all just went to hell after that. And I ran from politics after that. But I was looked at as one of those people, although I was white, that you just patted on the head and said, well, you tried. Good job. Congratulations. Here's a lollipop. Go sit in the corner, play with a circle of paper and some safety scissors, and we'll see you at graduation. It just didn't work out that way. If I can learn, anybody can learn. Anybody can learn. Intelligence might not be teachable, but everything else is, regardless of your intelligence. And sentence structure and proper grammar, I still have a problem with it. I'm sort of the school of thought of when in doubt, throw in a comma. Who cares? Or throw an M dash in there just for the hell of it. Because while I was in advanced classes for everything after that, the one thing I was not in advanced classes for was English, because I just could not really write all that well. And I did not like reading. God, I hated reading. I'm still not a big fan of reading. But that was with me through high school. It's kind of ironic that I make my living now constructing sentences, both verbally and written. But it was very easy and would have been easier. And actually, most of my teachers kind of did just pat me on the head and say, well, you tried. They didn't dumb down my grades or anything, and they certainly didn't go, well, the rest of the class is going to hold up because Derek can't read. Let's tell you, one of the most terrifying things in high school and junior high, throughout all of it, any sort of situation where this was even an issue was when you would do the readings. It was usually in history class where you're reading a chapter and like, all right, we're going to read this all together. And it was like, oh, shit, what are we going to do? And they'd either go down the aisle, like we'll start here and we'll go back and work our way through the class and everybody reads a paragraph. And I would sit there and I'd go count the number of people, count the number of paragraphs and find the paragraph that I was more than likely going to have to read. And I'd have to read the paragraph before it and after it, just in case for whatever reason, so I could understand what the hell they said, so I could read it and not sound like an idiot. I'd miss most of what everybody else was reading because I'm sitting there studying like it was my lines in a play. The worst was when they would just call on people at random. All right, you read this paragraph. All right, Billy, your next paragraph. All right, you read this paragraph. And I'd just sit there and I'd shit a brick going. I would always be a paragraph ahead studying the paragraph because the words were kind of jumbled and they're moving all over the place. And it was just horrifying. I probably remembered those paragraphs better than the rest of the class, but I didn't get any of the other information. But the idea that a group of people simply based on their skin color couldn't possibly learn, couldn't possibly be expected to live up to standards is wildly, wildly racist. And again, I have to go back to something that I go back to often, notably missing from the preferred groups of people for whom the standards must be dumbed down are Asians and Indians. Weird, isn't it? If this country is such a racist country, how is it that we've let the Indians and the Asians slip by? We just miss them? Because the average income of an American of Asian or Indian descent is higher than evil, evil oppressor whiteys. Again, if we were out to try and keep anybody off white down, how did we let them slip by? We wouldn't have. The thing is, they have very high rates of intact families. They stress the hell out of education more than anybody else. And guess what happens when you combine those two things? Why, you get elevated test scores. You get success at a higher rate. You get higher average incomes than anybody else. My God, who'd have thunk it? Well, everybody knows it. The data's been out there forever. The studies have been done. They're irrefuted because they're irrefutable. Yet leftists still insist, look, we can't expect these people to do it. We expect everybody else to do it. We know everybody else because of racism. If it's racism, why do you explain the Asians and the Indians? Well, it's a different kind of, they're acceptable minorities. Well, if there's racism, there is no acceptable minorities to racists. There is no acceptable others to a racist. A black racist won't go, yeah, but these white people are good, or these Asian people are fine. That's not how racism works. Maybe there's something else at play. Maybe it's external racism. As George W. Bush used to say, the soft bigotry of low expectations. That's exactly what's at play here, except that bigotry is not in any way, shape, or form soft. It is quite hard. It is quite obvious and quite blaring. Right there out in front of everybody. Look, we can't expect them to live up to these standards. Therefore, we must lower the standards. If that isn't racist, I don't know what is. Yet you won't hear complaints about it on the nightly news. MSNBC will not convene a panel of their race grievance instructors to come out and say, this is ridiculous. Why are they doing this? They'll just ignore it. If they won't mention it at all. They'll just pretend it didn't happen because they can. Because they don't really care. It is about empowering Democrats. Everything related to Black Lives Matter is about empowering Democrats. Everything related to race that people are hyping and harping on is related to empowering Democrats. Period. End of sentence.
Speaking of sentences and the ends of them and how to end them and whether to end them, Nancy Pelosi doesn't seem to be able to string together a coherent one or make sense of it when she's in the middle of it or know when to end it or how to end it. She also doesn't seem to know much about American history, which you would think she would. She's talking about Thomas Jefferson or trying to. And, well, it doesn't go so well. Listen to the Speaker of the House of Representatives try to... first of all, she can't pronounce Jefferson, which is terrifying in and of itself. And then she tries to give credit for things happening during Thomas Jefferson's administration that didn't happen during Thomas Jefferson's administration. You'll know it when you hear it. And then she tries to push it all forward related to the Louisiana Purchase, which it just, her timeline is, there's nothing about this that makes any sense. You know, if Rutgers really wants to dumb down a class, they could do Nancy Pelosi's version of history. This is like drunk history, but it's on the floor of the House of Representatives, and this person has more power than almost anybody else, certainly anybody else in the House of Representatives, to impose their will on the American public. This would be funnier if it weren't from the Speaker of the House, but here you go. Here's Nancy Pelosi's history lesson.
When our country was founded and Thomas Jefferson, when he became president, he tasked the Secretary of the Treasury to Gallatin to build the infrastructure of America, for an infrastructure plan that would follow the Lewis and Clark expedition. It was Erie Canal, Cumberland Road, all kinds of things built into the Louisiana Purchase that would follow. It was a great undertaking. Gallatin was the Secretary of Treasury, and so many things happened at that time to build the infrastructure into the manifest destiny of America as we moved west.
Did any of that not cause your head to explode? I apologize for causing that. There's so much wrong with it. It's ridiculous that Lewis and Clark, the Louisiana Purchase, she makes it sound like Lewis and Clark expedition happened before the Louisiana Purchase, and that the Cumberland Road, the National Road, and the Erie Canal all came before that or were ordered under Jefferson. It's hard to follow what in the hell she's talking about. The concept of manifest destiny didn't really even come about until the middle of the 19th century. So there's that. Albert Gallatin did propose some infrastructure things, and he had to fight tooth and nail with Jefferson and convince Jefferson, and his full name is Jefferson, not Jeff, and then move on. It's been historically documented that his name is Thomas Jefferson, not Thomas. Thomas Jefferson was the ultimate small government guy. He would not have been, hey, Secretary of the Treasury, I got an assignment for you. I want you to just find ways to expand the federal government in a way that I never in a million years would have accepted in my lifetime. Will you do that for me? Great, thank you. Of course, the Louisiana Purchase came before the Lewis and Clark expedition. The Lewis and Clark expedition was not really a wildly celebrated thing or even a notably celebrated thing at the time. In fact, I was just watching a documentary on this not that long ago because I'm a nerd. The Lewis and Clark expedition didn't really become a big deal because they were dispatched in the hopes of finding a waterway to the Pacific Ocean, which they did not find. They spent a lot of time on foot. When they returned back to St. Louis and then back to Washington to report to Jefferson, there wasn't fanfare. There wasn't excitement. There was not a mention of it in the newspapers. Jefferson mentioned that they basically, yep, they're back, in one address to Congress. That was it. He didn't make any hypes of it. There were no parades. They wrote their own memoirs about the trip. They wrote up their own journals that did not become bestsellers. They didn't become household names or heroes or anything like that until, I think it was the 1903, 1904, somewhere in there, St. Louis World's Fair. When the people of St. Louis, the leaders of St. Louis, thought we need something to sort of, I don't know, get people excited about. Oh, I know what it is. The anniversary of, we'll celebrate Lewis and Clark. They started from here and then they went west and then they came back to here. So that'll be our hook. And Lewis and Clark. And most people said, who the hell is Lewis and Clark? And then they push to educate the public on who Lewis and Clark were started from there. That was it. But to hear Nancy Pelosi say, why, my God, Thomas Jefferson sent off Lewis and Clark to see if Louisiana was worth purchasing. They came back and said, we could really use some canals and roads over here. And Albert Gallatin said, I've got an idea for that. And hence the massive infrastructure spending that Democrats want to engage in now is therefore not only justified, but blessed by Thomas Jefferson, a slave owner. It's part of manifest destiny. I don't know what she's drinking, but I want some of it. Just for the record, the Jefferson administration ended long before any of these other things started. Just by the way, I think it should be pointed out. So if your kids are listening to this, please do not listen to this and expect any sort of semblance of understanding of history. It's just not going to happen. Thomas Jefferson was president of the United States from March 4th, 1801 to March 4th, 1809. The Cumberland Road instruction, the national road that Nancy Pelosi was trying to talk about, didn't start being built until 1811. Again, a little bit convenient or inconvenient for there. The Erie Canal didn't start being built until 1817. So again, while somebody floated the idea of these things during the Jefferson administration, they did not go into being. They did not happen as a result of it. So you've got the own speaker. Maybe we need to dumb down history for Nancy Pelosi. Forget all the racist crap. Maybe we need to dumb down history for Nancy Pelosi. Speaking of racist crap, this clip is a little bit difficult to understand. No more so than Nancy Pelosi's garbling of U.S. history, but for different reasons, because Bobby Rush has a speech impediment. I've tried to look it up, and it looks as though Bobby Rush had a tumor removed from his salivary glands, and I imagine it kind of sounds like he had a stroke, but I think it was something to do with surgery. Anyway, he is the member of Congress from Chicago. He represents Illinois' 1st congressional district that encompasses a large chunk of the south side of Chicago, also known as the Killing Fields. He seems rather unbothered by it, much like the mayor of Chicago. He was doing a radio interview, and I'm not sure how you interview this guy on the radio, and he goes off on a rant. And like I said, it's hard to understand, but you can get the gist of it. And I want you to hear what Bobby Rush has to say. This is sort of letting out the Democrats' cat out of the bag. By the way, just for the record, and you sit there and you go, how could anybody who represents this district where all these murders are happening continue to get reelected? Well, because he's Bobby Rush. He's a former Black Panther. He squeaked by in 2018 with only 73.51% of the vote, which means he's going to be in Congress for as long as he wants to be. He also has one of the worst attendance records of any member of Congress. Apparently, he has missed, according to one survey, 15.7% of his votes. The average in Congress is 2.2%. Almost 16% of the vote. That's their jobs. And he misses it. He's probably in Washington, too. So what in the hell is he doing that he can't show up to vote?
Let's see. But between 2007 and 2015, out of 6,906 votes, Rush missed 1,549, or 22.4%. Maybe you can blame some of it on health issues, but if you can't do your job a quarter of the time, you shouldn't have that job. Not that you should be fired. I'm not heartless. But you should have some integrity and go, I can't represent the people I'm supposed to represent, so I will therefore resign. I will step down. But of course, that would require integrity. You will. I'll tell you a little bit more about Bobby Rush's integrity, as Nancy Pelosi would say, integrity. After we listen to Bobby Rush ramble on about how Trump wants a race war. Man, Trump wants a race war. That's Bobby Rush, a guy who in the 60s was trying to start a race war with the Black Panthers.
You know, to me, what Trump is doing, he's picking up dust at all, and he's a student of the Ku Klux Klan, all right? And this is nothing but a book out of the arrows and out of the strategies and the techniques of Ku Klux Klan. You know, anytime you send, I don't care if they're federal agents, I don't care whatever they are, anytime you send an armed militia, armed group of basically white men, we have not seen any blacks in this contingent. Contingency of federal agents, but anytime you send a group of armed bandits, outlaws, no, in a uniform, no name, no signals, no identification, and you just snatch up innocent people innocent people, man, and you take them and you take them off to some unrecognized, unknown place. You know, you are really terrorizing a nation. You're terrorizing communities. And for Trump to talk about sending federal agents in Chicago, we won't stand for it. You know, and I think that what Trump is really trying to do, my friend, I think that Trump is really trying to instigate a race war. He wants to have a reaction. If, in fact, these armed agents are deployed into Chicago, there's some guys in Chicago that ain't going to accept that. I mean, they're not. If he sends them in, he better not send them in to the hardcore, the South Side, West Side. He better keep them, send them over to the genteel North Side. Well, and they come in, then I'm not advocating that, but I just know that that's what Trump's game plan. Trump wants to instigate a race war. He want to have black folks fighting white folks, so he can rise up and say, I'm the real grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, and I'm the president. Re-elect me. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to play to the fears, to the racial animus that exists among certain white people, and he would do everything and anything to that, because he wants to be reelected at all costs.
Donald Trump is like the KKK. He wants a race war. If you're going to send troops in, they're all white guys. He's not looking very hard. But they're all white guys. They better not send them to the south or west side of Chicago. Just keep them on the genteel side of the north side, which is the non-murder side of Chicago. The east side is Lake Michigan, so there's nothing over there except mer people. Can you believe a member of Congress says this? And the host is like, oh, yeah. My God, you're right. He does. He needs to stay over there, and they're going to want a race war because he can say to his Klan supporters. So again, if you're a Trump supporter, you're the Klan, you're a monster, you want a race war. There is a race war going on in Chicago. It's more of a civil war, but it is a nonstop race war where the bodies are piling up. More people were shot yesterday in Chicago
not killed, thankfully, although I'm not sure Bobby Rush particularly cares whether or not they're killed. But more people were shot yesterday in Chicago than troops have been killed in Afghanistan this year. I don't know of a weekend where fewer people. So far this year, there have been nine American troops killed in Afghanistan. I don't know of a weekend where there have been less than nine people killed in a weekend in Chicago. But Bobby Rush says, we gotta worry about this other thing here. Yeah, Black Lives Matter? To who? Sure as hell isn't Black Lives Matter. Finally today, I'll give you an update on the NFL. They're going full-blown woke, and this makes me want there to be no NFL season. To be honest with you, sports is an escape, and if sports can't serve as an escape, I'm not interested in sports. So if the NFL got canceled for a season, I couldn't care less, to be honest with you. But first, President Trump has a huge announcement for his top supporters. We'll be celebrating the 2020 Republican Convention coming up this summer, and he wants you to enter for a chance to join him at the convention. That's right, you get a shot at this. It's the easiest contest you'll ever enter. If you win, the Trump team will cover your flight, your hotel, give you VIP passes for yourself and a guest, which are golden tickets. All you have to do to enter this is simple. Just text the word Derek, D-E-R-E-K, to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump at the convention. Told you, it was easy. Text D-E-R-E-K to 88022 to enter for your chance to win this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be the special guest of the President of the United States, paid for by Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated. Seriously, I don't know what you're waiting for. Enter. Now back to the NFL's wokeness really quickly. The NFL is planning to allow, remember a couple years ago when the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys, they had that Black Lives Matter member murder five police officers that one night, that one horrible night in the Obama administration, and the Cowboys wanted to honor them police symbol or whatever, DFP or whatever, DPD, on their helmets. And the NFL said, no, we're not going to allow this. We don't want it up there. No political messages. Okay. No political messages, eh? To honor five murdered police officers by a Black Lives Matter member. Now, the NFL is planning to allow players to have decals on the back of their helmets bearing names or initials of victims of systemic racism and police violence. The league has been in talks with individual players and their unions since June about somehow honoring such victims. Screw the police. Honor these so-called victims. Give me a break. The initiative will be done league-wide, with each team deciding who it will honor and how to display the names or initials. That means that if you don't want any part of this, you just don't have a say. You know, if there's political speech, you're free to have your own political speech, but we're putting this shit on your helmet because we want to impose this political speech on you. I don't know. The details aren't quite yet known, but it is something along these lines. And because you imagine being somebody who didn't want whatever crap they're going to come up with. If I don't want BLM on my uniform or on my helmet, not interested in that crap. Screw those communists. You don't have a choice, it doesn't seem like, because the NFL is a left-wing capitulation machine. They're the bosses. You would never know this. Just say no. You can say whatever you want at the press conferences. I don't care. But on the clock, you're on the clock. Be professional. That's too much to ask from so-called professionals, I guess. So, yeah, if the NFL season got canceled this year, sorry, I know there are diehard fans out there. But I wouldn't be heartbroken. And knowing that there's a lot of contracts out there that are not guaranteed, only really the super duper ooper stars get guaranteed money. A lot of these people who want to force this stuff down your throat wouldn't get a paycheck. And I wouldn't care.
Sounds dickish, maybe, but so be it. I'm so sick of all of this crap. The NBA is going to have Black Lives Matter written on the court when they come back, if they come back. You can have the NBA too. That's it. I'm done. I'm done with them. I'm sick of these. Okay, if Black Lives Matter matter, if they really matter, why don't you talk about the number one killer of black lives? And then Don Lemon goes, well, this isn't about that. This is about police brutality. Oh, so it's about an ingrown toenail on somebody whose body is slowly being crushed in a compression machine. Okay, good job. Way to focus on the big picture. No, one you can fundraise off of, and one you can't. If there was a group, and there probably are, I don't even know what it would be, but there are probably groups out there trying to quell the violence, the black-on-black murders. But do you know who's not cutting them checks? The rich liberals who are funding Black Lives Matter. You know why? And the why they're not getting the media coverage? Because it doesn't help Democrats. If you're actually trying to save black lives, how does that help Democrats? Saying the country is racist, and it's systemically so, riles up idiots, gets them in the streets, gets them going violently, and maybe leading to death. Who knows? It has led to a lot of deaths of black people, but, you know, those, again, those lives don't count. But if you try to solve the real problem, there's no money in it, there's no support in it, there's no media coverage in it, there's nothing in it. You try to address something that is as rare as an eclipse, and, oh my God, the sea parts, the money flows. And the Black Lives Matter leaders are free to count cash, hammer checks, weigh in on things like the need for abortion, the need for Medicare for all, and why Israel needs to be destroyed. But Don Lemon will tell you that if you want to talk about black lives being killed by other black people, start your own organization. This is about police brutality. So what does Medicare for All have to do with that? What does Israel have to do with that? Don Lemon doesn't have an answer for that because Don Lemon is a dumb person. We are out of time for today. You are not a dumb person. You are a smart person for listening to this program. Thank you for sharing it with friends and family and all that good stuff and strangers. We'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow will be Friday, mercifully. Holy Frank Tanana. I'm already ready for a Friday. It's a week. I'll see you. Thank you for listening. I'll see you then.
When our country was founded and Thomas Jefferson, when he became president...